I don't know if you guys are ready to go this week. We didn't really seem like we were ready to do much last week because nobody could remember anything from the week before, or those of you who could weren't willing to say. So I'm going to be a little easier on you this week. Thank you. What did we talk about last week? Say it again.
Sanctification.
Somebody who took notes last week, can you tell me what scripture did we start in? I know we had different scriptures, but I always tell you to open your Bibles to blah, blah, blah. Hebrews. Thank you. You guys, you can shout out the answer if you're wrong. I'm not going to embarrass you. No, we started in Hebrews. Can anybody remind me? My memory is so bad. What's the English translation? What's the English definition for sanctification? To be made holy. Now, in the Greek, what is the translation for the words? Separation to become holy. Separated for a sacred purpose. So in the NIV and in the Living Translation, wherever in the New Testament you read, there's a lot of places where it says being made holy. If you would have a King James Version Bible, it would use the word sanctified. So when you guys read that being made holy, I want you to realize that what the Bible is teaching is that means that God is setting you apart for a sacred purpose. Okay, so that was our review. You guys did better this week. All right, last week as people were coming out and shaking hands, and I had a lot of people say, wow, that was a lot of information. It was. How many of you had heard the word sanctification before last Sunday? Be honest. Don't raise your hand if you didn't. Okay. How many of you knew what sanctification was before last Sunday? Okay. How many of you knew the definition of sanctification before last Sunday? Okay. This week we're going to overview. I brought it back into a smaller package so that we can understand the different steps of sanctification, because this is really something that I feel we need to understand what God is trying to do in our hearts, what God wants to do in our lives. And so who can tell me last week what was the first step of sanctification? What part of us is sanctified first? I called it spiritual sanctification, and that is not the Holy Spirit, that is your spirit, your soul, which we are all born with. We're all given a soul, right? You have a part of you that is going to live on into eternity, whether you choose Christ and choose heaven, or you deny Christ and you choose hell. It is your choice here on earth. There is a part of us that lives on forever. The first part of sanctification, being made holy or set apart for that sacred purpose, is spiritual. Our souls are sanctified, how? By our position in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Kay. Some refer to it as positional sanctification. We are sanctified because we're in Jesus. And that is it. It doesn't matter how young, how old you are. If you understand and you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and you believe in Him, in God's mind and in God's heart, you are now sanctified. You are now set apart. Hebrews 10:10 says, by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And it goes on to say in Hebrews 10:17, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. This is the definition, the basis, the grounding work for the Christian faith, right? That anybody can come to Christ. Anybody can come to Christ, and His one sacrifice is enough to take all of your sins and transgressions. And in God's heart and mind, He will see you as pure and blameless. He will remember your lawless acts and sins no more. That was the first part of sanctification. The second part is emotional sanctification. This is the part that we live out day to day. John 15, Jesus has one of the most powerful teachings in the Bible. It talks about Jesus says what? Who remembers John 15? Talks about some sort of plant. The vine, the branches. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You are the branches. Now the vine dresser, God, through the Holy Spirit, separates our hearts and minds from the world. See, in spiritual sanctification, in God's heart and mind, we've been separated. But now he has to separate us, our hearts and minds. God sees us as separated from the world, but now he has to separate us for the world in our heart and in our mind, emotionally separating us from the world. Like we taught about the vine and the dresser, it's God pulling your roots out of the world so that you can plug more fully into Jesus Christ and bear more fruit, plugging more fully into the vine. We've been set apart in Christ and God's heart, and he will continue to help us separate our hearts from the world. Romans 8, chapter 8 is a very powerful chapter in Romans. Paul speaks about life lived in the Spirit, and he talks about a mindset. We have to have our minds set on the Spirit. And you can try to set your mind on the Spirit as much as you want, and it is not going to happen until you let God set your mind on the Spirit. And then the last step of sanctification, at its completion, some people call it ultimate sanctification. I said physical. It's where our bodies are redeemed. Romans 8, 22 through 23 says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have had the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoptions as sons, the redemption of bodies." That is you. You who have Jesus Christ in your heart should be groaning as with creation, waiting eagerly for the day that Jesus comes back and your bodies are redeemed. We cash in the Holy Spirit who has been given to us as a seal, who has been given to us as an earnest, telling us what is to come, a down payment of our inheritance. And then you will be justified and glorified and adopted as God's Son, co-heirs with Christ. Now, at our spiritual sanctification, which is the moment, as Paul says in Romans 10:9, we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. At the moment that we do that, you will be saved. And it's at that moment that you receive the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And you are spiritually sanctified. Once spiritual sanctification happens, then God will start to emotionally sanctify you. But it cannot happen until the first has happened. Why? Because until God sees you as pure, he cannot come to you. Because God is all holy and all righteousness, and we are still sin. And what happens when sin comes in the presence of the Lord? The presence of the Lord will destroy the sin. So God stays away until we accept Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. And he remembers them no more in his heart and mind. And then we come to him. He comes to us, he gives us the Holy Spirit through which he works through as the vine dresser. You guys remember the Holy Spirit? What did I say the Holy Spirit was? It's what? The hotline. It's that red phone in the Oval Office that goes to wherever it goes. Does anybody actually know where it goes? I've been preaching on it for weeks, but it goes where? The Kremlin. Okay. Well, wherever that red line goes, it's like your direct line to God. You pick up that phone, you know it's God. God speaks to you through the Holy Spirit. It's a communication device for God to communicate with you. And through that, he starts to sanctify you. He starts to convict you of things. He starts to tell you, hey, we got to pull these roots out of the world. We got to separate you from your sinful nature. You're separated in my heart and mind, but you're not separated in your heart and mind. How many people know this to be true? You accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you feel a change. How much of you is separated from the world? Is it, ta-da? No, it's a lifelong process. Your sanctification is not completed until you die, until your bodies pass away. And so that's what emotional sanctification is. God is working in your life right now, trying to separate you from the world. And if you're not letting him, he can't work in you. Does that make sense? If we don't let God speak to us through the Holy Spirit and tell us, hey, Nathan, pull that root. We're going to pull that. We're going to bend you this way because that's what the vine dresser does. He dresses the vine, lifts us up out of the dirt so that we can flourish and bear fruit. He says, hey, we're going to pull that, so that you can feed more from here, because that's taking your energy. You're not separated from that in your heart. We can all think of something in the world that we are not separated from, that our heart is wrapped around, even though the world is sin, right? God will work to convict you of that. Now, I have heard so many times somebody say, I need to do this. I need to be better at this. I need to be, as we heard today, I need to be joyful all the time. Has anybody ever tried to be joyful all the time? We look at Christians and we look bad, don't we? We look bad to the world because we're not perfect. We're not just, hey, everything is great now. I'm a Christian. I accepted Jesus in my heart. I have no more sin. I'm not going to sin anymore. That's not how it works. As Christians, yes, we're sanctified in God's mind. He sees us as pure, and it frees us up to do His ministry, and it frees us up to let Him come and separate us from the world. But what the world sees is a lot of times a lot of Christians who accepted Jesus, their ticket into eternity, into heaven. And that's it. End of process. Sanctification will be completed when I die. There's nothing more I can do here. That's not the way it works, guys. God wants to work through you. He wants to get in there and He wants to rearrange your heart and say, hey, this goes here, this goes here. We got to get rid of that, got to get rid of that. This is hurting you. This is hurting you. God comes in to help you rearrange your life because those things are hurting you. Those things are killing you. The world is killing you. The world is killing you. The world is killing you. It's killing you, and it'll continue to kill you until you let God convict you of what you need to change. We hear so much, I need to change this and I need to change this, but you know what happens? Not a lot of changing. That's because that's from us. You got to let God convict you. And when God convicts me of something, then I change. But when I tried to change on my own for years after having Jesus in my heart, it did not work. It never stayed through. I couldn't stay on the course because that's what I thought I needed to do. I needed to be joyful all the time. It didn't work. Because I didn't seek the fountain of joy. I didn't seek the giver of joy. That's emotional sanctification, and it should be going on in your life right now. You should be feeling God bend you. You should be hearing God telling you, we got to prune that. We got to pull that. I need you over here, Nathan. Shut the dumb TV off. I need you over here. Don't watch that movie. Don't watch that show. I need you over here because I want you. What happens? What does Jesus teach in John 15? That when you do that, you have the joy that Jesus Christ experiences. Wow. We're searching for joy. You're not going to find it on your own, and you're definitely not going to find it plugged into the world. Hebrews 10:16 says that with this new covenant that God has with us, Jesus Christ, He will write His laws in our minds and in our hearts. That's what God is doing. What's His laws? What is God? God is love. The laws that He has for us are out of love because He loves us and He wants to write them on our hearts. So emotional sanctification, we understand God is helping us separate our hearts and our minds from the world. We've already been separated in His heart and mind, but not in our own. Physical sanctification, Romans 8:30 says that once Christ comes back, we will be glorified. Romans 8:23 says that we will be adopted as God's sons and daughters. So often we talk as if we're already adopted. Well, technically we are, because God is outside of time. He sees we're sanctified. He sees that we're going to be adopted. But we have not experienced that yet because we have not had our bodies. Our bodies have not yet been redeemed. And Romans 8:17 says that we will be co-heirs with Christ. Do you guys ever think of that? Christ is God's son. I'm going to be God's son when I'm redeemed. I am God's son. When I get my inheritance, I'm going to sit beside Jesus. Sounds pretty cool, right? The good news is that you don't have to deserve any of this. And the better news in my mind, in my heart, is that you cannot deserve any of this. Whew, it takes a big load off of me, doesn't it? I can't deserve it. God gives it to me through His grace and through His mercy. God can take you, He can take your life, He can save you from an eternity of hell, transform you and separate you from the world so that you can live life in the Spirit and find what? Does Paul say in Romans chapter 8? What will you find if you live life in the Spirit, Chuck? Peace. And Anne? Abundance. That's what he says. This is all for a purpose, guys. Those of us who are living dead lives and like, oh, the weight of the world is on our shoulders, God doesn't want that for you, but you're not letting Him separate you from the world. You start living in the Spirit, you'll start experiencing peace that Christ experiences. You'll start experiencing abundant life. You'll start to really bear fruit. Now, don't worry about your job. As you know, sanctification is just to kind of let you know what's supposed to be going on in your life right now. Your job is not to look at, I need to pull this, I need to pull this, I need to do this, and I need to do that. Remember I talked about that? I tried doing that. I tried making the fruits of the spirits come out of me. I painted them all up and shoved them in my wife's mouth. Chew that, that's good fruit. She spits it out, that's nasty. That's not of the Spirit. The awesome thing is, there's nothing that you can do to separate yourself from the world. You have to let God separate you from the world. You come to Christ, feed from the vine, and you'll find your joy in the vine. You will find all those fruits that you want to bear. You will find those in the vine. As Christians, I think one of the most misunderstood things is that you can work on these things for God. No, you can't. God will do these things for you when you come to Him. You try to do it on your own, it's not going to work. That's the good news. Your only job, get close to Christ. Your only job, feed from the vine. Your only job this week when you read your Bible is to read it, understanding that I am getting closer to Christ, not so that I can gauge my fruits of the Spirit so they can get better. You want to get closer to Christ, and He will be the one give you those abundant fruits. Read John chapter 15, refresh yourself on it. Jesus teaches the whole thing in there. Awesome teaching. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You so graciously let us know what You're doing in our lives, and I pray that we would let You do Your work this week. That we would let You separate us in our hearts and in our minds from the world, that as You call us to pull out of the world here and to pull out of the world there, that we would answer You. That we would say, yes, it's going to be hard because I've been in the world. Pruning hurts. It's hard to bend in ways You've never bent before. Father God, give us the strength to come to You and the understanding, knowing that when we do come to You, You have all of the best in store for us, and You will lead us in that way if we let You. Thank You for Your teaching, Father God. We thank You for this family where we can come together and learn with one another before we go back out into the world this week, for Your ministry of reconciliation to bring all of those who do not have You back to You. Thank You for our salvation, and we thank You that You did not leave it at that. In Your name we pray. Amen.